Live. Live. Hip, two, three, four. Hip, two, three, four. Lift. Hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, two, three, four, hip. Two, three, four,
all right, you soldiers in Yahweh's army, this is your wake-up call. Show is wake-up call. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Thursday, the 28th of September, 2017. I want to say Shalom Aleichem. Today, from sundown last night to sundown tonight, is Yom Kippur. So this show is pre-recorded. I will be observing the Day of Atonement, covering over. Today I have a special treat for you. Pastor Paul Mullett did another essay, and he sent it to me, and I thought it was so good I wanted to do a show on it. It's called Attacked Abroad and Divided Within, America. And he has a lot of really good points in here. And as soon as I start talking, I have to cough. My lungs are still giving me problems. That's going to be a lifelong thing, I think. But let's get into this. We are all seeing the worldwide problems concerning America and the internal problems concerning America, and going into the end times here. I had to get a drink of apple juice. Things are getting bad as we are entering the opening stages of the tribulation, with the increasing violence and fear-mongering. A lot of stuff on the internet made to just confuse and divide people and deceive people and increase fear. Well, we're gonna cover a lot of that in Pastor Mullett's essay. I'm going to make comments through the essay. I told him I was going to do that, and he's in agreement with that. I'm not going to modify what he's saying. I'm just going to comment on talking points within his essay, and there are a lot of them. Let's get started. This is Attacked Abroad and Divided Within America by Pastor Paul Mullett. And the opening statement: the United States is bitterly divided politically, socially, and racially. Well, that's all the Israel nations, okay? All of them. At the same time, its role in the world is being undermined in strategic geographic regions. Are we entering a time of escalating danger and trouble like that spoken of in Holy Scripture? Question mark. Let me clear the lungs again. I do believe we are in that period. That's my personal comment. I'll you can pretty well tell when I'm putting my comments in. Continuing on, scriptural prophecy explains why our world is dangerous. Oh, yes, it does. It does do that. It also provides hope, which removes fear. Let's look at what's happening and let's understand why. On July 4th, 2017, North Korea launched an intercontinental ballistic missile capable of carrying a nuclear weapon that could reach Alaska. Okay, that's what they say. Some experts said the missile had the capability of reaching as far as the U.S. mainland and the city of San Francisco. Some experts. Okay, let's focus on that, folks. Paul is making known that these are some experts. What do a lot of these experts do today except fear-mongering? They say, he'll get to this later on. They are promoting all these fear points. All kinds of fear points today. This is me speaking. I'll get back to Paul's thing in a second. Planet X, this big thing with the signs in the sky on the 23rd, and okay, a lot of hype, and scripture says clearly that if a prophet makes prophecies and Yahweh has not sent him, the prophecies will not come true. Well, we're seeing a lot of these things. They come and they pass. They just pass through and that's it. Not that there are not going to be legitimate things coming. That's also shown in Scripture. Let's get back to Paul's article. Let me clear out again. The timing of the launch was not by coincidence. He makes a point here. July 4th is the annual celebration of America's birth. Okay, 4th of July. Rah, rah, rah. The day is a symbol of the gift of freedom gained through the struggle for independence and the white founders setting up the nation's government, all by and with Yahweh's blessings. Okay. Now let's stop right here. Let me get clear again. It seems to me, this is my comment about Yahweh's blessings, that Yahweh's blessings are being withdrawn because of the apostasy in this nation. Okay? That's where a lot of this trouble is coming from. I'll get a little more apple juice here. Continuing on in Paul's article, it also focuses on American national strength, which has served not just the country, but the world at large. Okay, that is true. In the past, we have been a protector. Now we are the world's policeman, or whatever the Jews want us to do. All these wars are Jewish wars. Let's just get that straight at the get-go. Continuing on, North Korea was giving notice it was setting their communist sights on America. That's true. That guy over there is nuts. In fact, North Korean leaders warmly congratulated the National Defense Science soldiers on striking the U.S. imperialist on the face, quote unquote. According to the North Korean news agency, KCNA. They also stated that if, quote, U.S. imperialists can commit even the slightest military provocation, unquote, the North Korean military would, quote, show to the world how the territory of the U.S. will be reduced to ashes, unquote. And that comes from Agence France-Presse. Explosion in sky as Pyongyang celebrates ICBM launch, July 6, 2017. Okay. Continuing on. This news brings obvious concerns. A nuclear-armed communist North Korea is without question a menace to the free Aryan world. But I'm not scared, and neither should you be. I know there's an Elohim who has a purpose and plan for this world. Amen to that, Brother Paul. I'm not scared either, brother. Yahweh is in control. Scriptural prophecy tells me that though there will be devastating wars, probably even nuclear wars, the Israelite race and nations will not be annihilated. Again, amen to that, brother. Yahweh will put his hedge of protection about his remnant. So true, Brother Paul. Scriptural prophecy explains why our world is so dangerous. It also provides hope. Amen to that. Which removes that fear. Let's look at what's happening and let's understand why. Now, the title of the next section is Steps Toward the Worst Time Ever. Let me clear up my lungs again. Alrighty. North Korea picked the day it did to show America it had within its reach the ability to inflict great destruction on the American people. Stop right here. I'm going to make a comment. Now, that is what they said, and I know they launched something. We don't know how successful it is because the only news coverage that covered that was the Fake News Now people. We didn't get the straight scoop on it because it was controlled. But we know they did launch something. Ow. How dangerous it was or how efficient that it would be in carrying a warhead, we don't know because they're suppressing the news about it. Continuing on in Paul's article, this grave danger posed by a regime that has proven its disregard for human life, starving and repressing its own citizens in building its nuclear program, comes at a time when America is being torn apart with political debate over the presidential election process and health care reform. That's right, they hit us when we're down. It gives something else to worry about. Therefore, dividing the people and confusing the people and causing a panic reaction in those that don't believe in Yahweh. Those of us that believe in the power of Yahweh are harder to fool. Continuing on. The ability of the president to effectively govern is challenged by, now I've highlighted this, media-hyped allegations of collusion with Russia and the 2016 election process. The cloud of doubt cast over government threatens to paralyze and, I've highlighted this again, distract the nation's leaders, not only the leaders, but all of the people, from focusing on the real peril posed by communist Jewish-influenced nations that wish to remove Aryan American power and end its long-established world role. Here's the next section. The threat is real. The consequences are far-reaching. This is the next segment. Pardon me, Pastor Paul says. In his last major prophecy before his crucifixion and resurrection, Yeshua the Messiah spoke of a time of world turmoil and upheaval that will create war, tension, and trouble beyond any seen in any previous period of history. I highlighted that. Now, I'm going to quote what he has, and then I'm going to read a whole passage, okay? It will be a time of, quote, for then there shall be great distress, or great pressure, or great affliction, end quote, in parentheses, such has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And he quotes Matthew 24:21. Then he goes on to say, this will create conditions that, this was highlighted by me, if not cut short, would cause the extinction of all life. In verse 22, let's go to that section. Matthew 24, and I'm going to read verses 16 through 22. And I'm going to be reading from the scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research, okay? All right, got my lungs clear. Let's have at it. Verse 16 of chapter 24 of Matthew. Then let those who are in Yehuda flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take whatever out of his house. Verse 18, and let him who is in the field not turn back to get his garments. Verse 19, and woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing children in those days. Verse 20, and pray that your flight does not take place in winter or on the Shabbat. Verse 21, for then there shall be great distress, such has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Verse 22, and if those days were not shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the sake of the chosen ones, that means Israel, real Israel, those days shall be shortened. Okay? It's pretty plain. Pretty plain. Let me look at this next verse. My doggone bookmark fell out of my Bible. Yeah, I'm in the wrong, looking at the wrong section here. That's Hosea chapter 7. That will be the next, there it is. Okay. Getting back to the article. Continuing on, these verses describe a time made possible by the creation of deadly nuclear weapons. I'm going to stop right here. Those methods were revealed by the demons that invented weapons of war. They have been revealing to the evil ones on this planet how to do this. As it was in the beginning, so is it now. By the creation of deadly nuclear weapons at the end and in the aftermath of World War II. White people killing white people. That was stupid. Since the world has been under the threat of massive destruction, unlike any period of world history. Now, my comment is, so our science, all our science and technology does really is give us more effective ways of wiping out the seed of Adam. That's what it's designed to do. Poison the water, poison the air, poison the soil, make better weapons. Abortion clinics, genetically modified foods, on and on and on. That's what all our science is really done, is help to destroy us. Moving on in Pastor Paul's dissertation here. Treaties, arms agreement, and goodwill have not deterred the spread of nuclear weapons to countries that would use them to advance their, and he has in parentheses, Jewish, own national and false pagan religious interests. Well, who makes all the money off the wars? This is me talking again. The Jews make money off of both sides during a war. They finance both sides. And then when the war's over, the loser, they loot and just gut the country. And they weren't have loan money to the winner, and they get them with usury. And both sides usually results in the death of a lot of white people. That's their main goal right there, to kill as much of the white Israelite race as they can. Back to the article. North Korea threatens to use its nuclear weapon against America. Iran is pursuing nuclear weapons and threatens to launch them against the false state of Israel. Should Saudi Arabia obtain a weapon, an already unstable Middle East would be at an even greater threat level. Well, yeah. Those people over there are not wrapped too tight. Anyway, I'm sorry, but the Muslims are a crazy bunch. They're very violent, and they fight among themselves. So, I don't mind them killing each other, but if they're going to blow everybody else up, that bothers me. Continuing on. The world is at the point of massive destabilization on the issue of nuclear weapons alone. Yeah, nobody wants these crazy goofballs to get nukes. Now, I have added a word to this sentence. There is one common thread to this scenario, the desire of certain nation to remove, I have added the word Christian, America's historic role as a world superpower. Let's look closer at what is happening, because we are, from the inception, a Christian nation. That is not necessarily so now. Our government has gone Antichrist. They're promoting apostasy. The churches have gone into apostasy. Most people are sick of what is called religion today because of the phoniness of it, and have dropped out of any participation in anything. The only group that is actually growing by small numbers, I will add, as Yahweh draws them in, is Christian Identity. We are growing in numbers. People are waking up. We are waking people up here at EFR. It's paying off. We are having more and more and more come into the fold of the remnant, which is what our station is designed to do, to preach the word of Yahweh and wake people up so they accept Yahweh as their divine being, and Yahshua, Yahweh in the flesh, as the Redeemer. And that's what this is all about. That's what these shows are about. Here's another section. The Asian calculus. Now listen to this. This makes a lot of sense. That's why I had to do this article. He really nails a lot of stuff down in here. This is marvelous. The United States has hoped that China would be a broker in persuading North Korea to stand down from its nuclear ambitions. This is a false hope. Well, amen on that. China has propped up the Kim regime since the time of the Korean War. I highlighted this. It is in China's interest to keep Korea divided and South Korea without nuclear weapons. Now listen to this. The last thing China wants is a united Korea on the Korean Peninsula, armed with nuclear weapons and aligned with America. Think about that. Such a situation is a threat to, and I highlighted this, Chinese desires to control all of Asia. They are very persistent in that vein. Nor is a nuclear-armed Japan something China wants. More nuclear nations in Asia would create a level of instability likely to drag other nations like Russia and America into regional conflicts. Chinese leaders supporting a rogue nuclear-armed North Korea fits their long-range plan. All right, now here's some of my comments. China has a financial debt hold on America. They want all of this fertile land. They have bought up a lot of our debt, and our money is spiraling down so badly in value that they have been dumping U.S. dollars. They're not using U.S. dollars over there anymore, because our economy is in the toilet. The Jews are just printing money like it's going out of style. Back to the article here. China is pursuing a steady course to become the dominant power in Asia and, in fact, the world. And as a result, replacing America. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. I need a little apple juice here. It's building a naval power capable of controlling the vital sea lanes of the region, including all around Japan, whom they hate. It will soon be capable of threatening the U.S. Navy, which has guaranteed open sea lanes and the movement of shipborne cargoes. Freedom of the seas is vital to a stable global economy. They don't care about a stable global economy. That's my comment. Here we go. China has also been pushing claims to small islands in the South China Sea. These islands, some of which are claimed by Japan, would give China further ability to control the seas. Let's stop right here. The missile project in Korea is not so much a threat to us as it is Japan, because they are traditional enemies. And they've already got stuff that they can drop on Japan. And if they get a nuke, they would not hesitate to nuke Japan. That nutcase over there will do whatever he damn well pleases. All right. These islands, some of which are claimed by Japan, would give China further ability to control the seas. Yeah, they could put submarine bases right there in those islands. Against rulings by the Jewish-created World Court, which has no authority, China has continued to pursue its territorial goals. Yes, it has. Its desire to cut down American influence in the Pacific Rim remains prevalent and strong. Stop right here. The Pacific Rim over there is a major business point. If you control that area, you control the business and manufacturing and shipping and everything else. And they could just cut off a lot of stuff to different countries and subjugate the smaller, lesser armed countries. Whatever happens with North Korea, America cannot expect Chinese support that would undermine China's long-term strategic interest. The removal of American influence in Asia. How true. Next segment. America relying on China is like the book of Hosea's description of ancient Israel flitting like a simple dove without heart to foreign nations in seeking alliance. And he quotes Hosea 7:11. Well, I'm going to read that whole segment here in a minute. At that time, neither Assyrian nor Egyptian national interests were aligned with Israel's. Israel's sin and internal problems were draining its strength and national and racial character, just like here in America today, my comment. Because of spiritual sin, the leaders and people could not see that they were weakened. Again, my comment, just like here today in all the Israel nations, the morality is going down the tubes. Continuing on, they did not seek Yahweh in their lives and had pushed him to the margins. And he quotes Hosea 7, 8 through 12. They fell to the false Jewish influences and idols. Decline was inevitable and their fall soon came. Is America today in the same situation? Oh, amen and amen. Let me read this section. And Hosea. Now, Ephraim is a figurative for all of Israel. Okay? They used Ephraim as a generic term for all of Israel. This is chapter 7, verse 8 of Hosea. Ephraim mixes himself among the peoples. Ephraim has become a cake unturned. In other words, it's burning on one side. Becoming dark. Hint, hint. Mixes himself among the peoples. This is metaphoric usage here. What have we got in the Israelite nations today? Are they all not being mixed among all these different races? Verse 9. Strangers, meaning racial aliens, have devoured his strength, but he does not know it. The American people are ignorant of what the problem is. And the more of this illegal immigration that comes, the stupider our people are going to get until it's too late. Gray hairs are also sprinkled on him, and he does not know it. Our country has gotten old. The laws that we were founded on have been gutted. Our strength has been devoured by the invading hordes and the Antichrist Zionist Jew, which is their aim to destroy Israel. Verse 10, and the excellency of Israel did witness to his face, but they did not return to Yahweh their Elohim, nor did they seek him for all this. Well, what has happened to the Israel nations? They have all turned away from Yahweh, except for the remnant. But the remnant is growing by Yahweh's hand. Verse 11, and Ephraim has become a simple dove without heart. They have called on Mitzrayim. They have gone to Asher, racially alien lands. We've allied ourselves with lands that we should not have alliances with. And they are betraying us. Verse 12. When they go, I spread my net over them. I bring them down like the birds of the skies. I chastise them as their congregation has heard. We are in that chastisement. Now, we are being chastised by Yahweh for our apostasy. And I'll stick that back up on the shelf there. We were a great nation when we obeyed Yahweh. When we were first founded, we were a Christian nation exclusively. And then later on, as the Jews came in, Ben Franklin warned us about that. But we didn't listen to him, and we let him in, and then now they're bringing all these others in. The floods that they talk about, pardon me, I got to clear my throat. The floods that they talk about in the Bible are floods of people, racially alien people. Here's the next segment of Paul's dissertation here. A deeply divided America. In the same passage from Hosea 7, quoted above, Israel is described as having its strength devoured and gray hairs on its head. I read that. Hosea 7, 9, yet the nation could not perceive that its weakness was so deep and severe that collapse was near. It's time to consider the gray hairs, devoured strength, and decline of the United States. My comment? Because of apostasy. Continuing on, the current political and social divide in the nation is deep, serious, and dangerous. It has been developing for several years. The current phase can be traced back to the presidential election of 2000. The election that year between George W. Bush and Al Gore was so close, hinging on vote counts in several Florida counties, that it had to be decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. The court ruled in favor of Mr. Bush. Cries of foul rose from those who supported the defeated Mr. Gore, the guy that invented the internet and all that other, And a great national debate ensued. President Bush began his term under a cloud. Next paragraph. Then came September 11, 2001. The Jewish planned and financed attack on America that began the War on Terror. My comment, fake. The next month, America and its allies invaded Afghanistan and quickly overthrew the Taliban. In 2003, America invaded Iraq and overthrew Saddam Hussein. Comment? We made him, we took him out. Continuing on, soon the protracted Jewish-dictated wars became deeply unpopular. While winning the wars, America couldn't win the peace. The end of the Iraq War was a destabilized region which led to the rise of ISIS, the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, the uprising in other Middle East nations in the so-called Arab Spring of 2010 led to further instability and is at the heart of the current Syrian civil war. Well, my comment there is he doesn't want a central bank, and that's why war is being made upon him, supported by America, which is run by Jews who want the central bank. The financial crisis of 2008 had further undermined American confidence. Next paragraph. 8 years of President, quote-unquote, Barack Obama further deepened the social turmoil in America. A national health care law was passed without bipartisan support from Congress or the American people. The hostility generated by that act contributed to the erosion of the national debate and is still defining, current political relations. Well, of course it is. They can't get rid of the doggone thing. Because the Republicans and the Democrats are the same party. Obama, the nation's first half-breed president, came into office thanks to the Jews, amid what would some would call great hope and expectation. He left with many former supporters disappointed and the nation much further in debt and decline in the international arena. Okay, my comment. This is only justice. as we are not to have a stranger, read that racial alien, over us. Apostasy in Israel again. We have a lot of white people that are traitors. Continuing on, the election of Donald Trump came at a time of failed leadership at many levels. Mr. Trump defeated 15 others who sought the presidency. The bitter campaigning deepened the national divide with each week. Absolutely. On election night, a great many pundits, the so-called experts, and people around the world were stunned by the results. The white guy won. All right, my comment. Trump, now that he's in, is absolutely surrounded with Jews. And many of us have noticed that. Continuing on, sadly, America lacks visionary leadership. Of course it does. They're not taking the visions of Yahweh. They're relying on men, which are corrupt. Continuing on, the current scene has grown to open hostility, some calling it class warfare. Break right here, my comment. It is Yahweh versus Satan all over again. Same deal, different day. The war has never ended. The war in heaven continues on. Continuing on with the article. There is always hope for improvement, but the long-term prospects don't look promising. Meanwhile, the international situation is growing more troublesome almost by the day. Next paragraph. America is crippled domestically at one of the gravest moments in history. The historic alignment of the powerful nations is changing. From Asia to the Middle East and Europe, we are seeing a shaking and overturning of the nations and their relations to one another. Always in history, this has been a signal of major shift in world affairs. And those who are wise will seek to understand the times in the light of the Holy Scriptures and its prophecies of where events are headed. Amen, brother. Here's the next segment and last segment. The only way to understand what's taking place. Long ago in the world of the ancient Middle East, Yahweh told his prophet Habakkuk that he was shaking the nations according to his plan. And he quotes, "Look among the nations and see and be amazed. Be amazed, for a work is being wrought in your days which you would not believe if it were told. See, I am raising up the Kashdim," those are the Chaldeans or Babylonians, "a bitter and hasty nation, who is going through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs." And that's Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Next paragraph. Yahweh did overturn the nations of Habakkuk's time. Those events changed that world, and the effect is still with us today. I highlighted this. Yahweh is in ultimate control of history. History moves at the speed of the plan of Yahweh. And I give a resounding amen to that, brother. Amen, Brother Mullet. Next paragraph. We are in another such time of world upheaval. Another amen to that. The only way to understand this is through the keys of scriptural prophecy. that Yahweh is the Elohim, that means the God of history, is a key that can help calm the waters of fear and uncertainty. It's why I noted earlier that, and I underlined this, I am not frightened by current world events, disturbing and startling though they are, and neither should you be. Yes, sir, Pastor Mullet. Next paragraph. But to be clear, we are in time of serious and ever-increasing trouble. Now is the time for a wise Aryan to turn to Yahweh, seeking a relationship that comforts and encourages. What do we preach here at EFR? Turn to Yahweh. Let's move on. The best advice you could hear right now is to turn down your connection to the news and turn up your connection to Yahweh. Preach on, brother. Yes, sir. Next paragraph. After Habakkuk surveyed the events of his day and understood the judgment of Yahweh that would soon turn the world upside down, he was able to take comfort in his relationship with Yahweh, saying, quote, "Yet I exult in Yahweh. I rejoice in the Elohim of my deliverance. Yahweh, my master, is my strength. And he makes my feet like those of a deer and makes me walk on my high places." And this was written to the chief singer with stringed instruments. And that's unquote. That's Habakkuk 3, verses 18 through 19. And the closing statement Pastor Paul makes here is, you too can have that kind of faithful assurance from Yahweh, but it must start by turning to Him with all of your heart and being. Being an Aryan does not guarantee your acceptance into the family of Yahweh unless you accept His invitation. And once you do, the world is yours. What an excellent paper. Excellent, excellent, excellent. It follows the teachings of the scripture. It highlights all the current events that we are seeing that this pertains to. We see the analogy between the Old Testament times and now. The behavior patterns are the same. Yahweh is shaking all the nations. The hard times of the tribulation with open warfare and anarchy are coming. It's breaking out now in small brush fires. We are seeing disaster after disaster after disaster. All these forest fires, volcanic activity, floods and hurricanes, whether they are man-made or not, they're still happening. A lot of them are not as severe as they appear. Pastor Dan did a show on that this last hurricane was just a tropical storm, but they had everybody hyped up through the Jews media that this was going to be a super hurricane and everybody had to leave and they had to do all of that. We've seen the flooding in Texas. They're promoting on the internet all these photos of Walmarts being turned into FEMA camps with barbed wire and all of that. High security around all of them. They're emptying out Walmarts. Walmart has its own security team. Walmart has a disaster security. They're militarizing Walmart. What does Walmart carry in its stores? Chinese products, imports from China. I mean, I did a show called Ton of Bricks, and I guess a ton of bricks has to fall on a lot of Americans before they wake up. And I'm not even sure they would wake up then. All this turmoil, all these rapes, all the gang violence orchestrated and paid for by George Soros, Black Lives Splatter and all that nonsense, we see it. We see it all too much, brothers and sisters, all too much. End times? You bet. Absolutely, you bet. What stage are we in? I can't say. The stages are not outlined. It just says all these things would occur. Well, doggone it, brothers and sisters, they are occurring, are they not? What can I say to that? Well, what I can say is Shalom Aleichem. It's been a great show. I have enjoyed reading Pastor Paul's paper here and making my comments on it. He is a dear brother and a true Christian identity pastor. I love him dearly as a brother. And that's all I can say on that. I'm gonna play some bumper music and then one of my psalms, and we're gonna be out of here, brothers and sisters. I'm going to the Feast of Tabernacles next week, and for today, may you have a blessed Yom Kippur. Shalom Aleichem.
Live. Live. Hip, 2, 3, 4, hip, 2, 3, 4, lift, hip. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, 2, 3, 4, hip. Hip, 2, 3, 4, hip.
Psalm 91, known as the Soldier's Psalm. He that dwells in the secret place of Elyon, who abides under the shadow of the Shaddai, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of a trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or of destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on and see the reward of the morally wrong, because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Elyon, your dwelling place. No evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent. For he commands his messengers concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You tread upon lion and cobra. Young lion and jackal you trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, therefore I deliver him. I set him on high because he has known my name. When he calls on me, I answer him. I am with him in distress. I deliver him and honor him. With long life I fill him and show him my deliverance.